Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air with the mission to equip you in life and truth because life and truth matter. In our post-truth culture of confusion, the need for Christians to be equipped with truth has never been greater. Truth equips you to live life authentically in Christ, enabling you to strive with all His energy that He so powerfully works within you. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. A reminder that you can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Well, just as we get questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we also get many, many questions through social media. Yeah, and of course, you can send us your questions via social media, including at equip.org. One of those questions that intrigued me today was an email question from Amelia, who said, "Good morning. I heard your podcast with Jackie Hill Perry, the author of Gay Girl, Good God. But I have a follow-up question I was hoping you could answer. I'm an Orthodox college girl with a lot of friends in the LGBTQ plus community. Most of them either had horrible church experiences growing up or they didn't have any at all. I personally don't shut up about my faith, and they know this, but part of me wants to show them more of my faith. I want to talk to them about orthodoxy and their choices in life. What they decide is theirs to deal with, but I feel like I have something to say. They're good people, but I don't think they're going to be happy in the future with the choices that they're making in the present. So, what should I do? Thank you." And of course, she's thanking me for an answer she hasn't received yet, but here it is. The first thing I would say, Amelia, is that I recommend that in addition to the podcast, which you listen to, Gay Girl, Good God, that you get a copy of Gay Girl, Good God, the book. That book is rife with great information that will help you be an effective witness to your friends in the LGBTQ community. God didn't come into this world to save only a fraction of each of your LGBTQ friends. Christ came into the world to save the entirety of their humanity. In other words, God isn't calling gay people to be straight. He's calling gay people to Himself. And when that happens, everything else changes. If a homosexual merely pursues heterosexuality rather than pursuing holiness, all they'll do is replace one idol with another. Even if a Christian can't understand the specific struggle of same-sex attraction, all of us can understand the general struggle of sin. And so, Amelia, as an Orthodox Christian, you might consider the wisdom of speaking to your friends as well about the beauty of God, the mystery of the Eucharist. What I'm talking about here is the door of the wardrobe that opens into Narnia. I'm driving at the issue that I communicate so often on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and that is, it's not about evangelism. It's about equipping for evangelism. If you're equipped, evangelism will take place in the normal course of your everyday life, in the normal course of your everyday interactions. In this case, it is more than just a little helpful to understand the liabilities of the LGBTQ lifestyle so that you can use those deviations as springboards for sharing the beauty of an authentic Christian life. Take for example, the T in that long list of letters, LGBTQ. What does it mean to be the T trans? Well, at its core, transgenderism denies that biological sex is objective and instead arbitrarily privileges one subjective self-description of gender identity. For the first time in history, what's happened is we have begun to decouple gender and sex. What is the harm in doing that? As has been well said, this new and popular sexual paradigm is false at every conceivable scale of resolution. It denies the reality of biological sex, and it supplants it with subjective gender identity. And that's not merely an eccentric academic theory. It raises serious human rights concerns for vulnerable groups. Indeed, transgenderism redefines what it means to be human in the first place. It undermines the very foundations of Western civilization. So your friends, Amelia, in the LGBTQ community also believe that same-sex relationships are as natural and normative as traditional marriage. But that's not true. There are incredible liabilities to the homosexual lifestyle. In fact, you read about them in Scripture. Paul's epistle to the Romans aptly describes both the perversion and the penalty. Remember this famed text there, women exchanged natural relations for unnatural relations, and in the same way, men also abandon natural relations with women, inflamed with one another, with lust, and men committing indecent acts with other men, and as a result of that, they receive in themselves the due penalty of their perversion. So being equipped for evangelism means being able to give answers, including being able to give a defense of the Holy Tradition and of the Scripture, which is a product of that Holy Tradition. You know, when most LGBTQ people hear someone cite the Bible, the reaction is polite expressions of exasperation, because they think the Bible teaches that parents are to do things like stone their children if they stray away from faith, or the Bible contains a warrant for trafficking in humans, or ethnic cleansing, or slavery, or bride price, or indiscriminate massacre. You probably know the list. Of course, none of this could be farther from the truth, and we need to become equipped to give answers. And I've given a plethora of those answers in many of my books. Has God Spoken, The Complete Bible Answer Book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, etc. So what's missing in the lives of your friends, Amelia, is an authentic sense of mystery. There's a whole world out there that they're not learning about because of their materialistic presuppositions. You know, the physical facts fix all the facts, and the corollary implication that one's subjective self-description of gender and sexual identity simply trumps any and all objective biology and morality. It's so sad. Post-Enlightenment thinkers have in essence become wretched flatlanders. When thinking about the possibility of experiencing life that is life to the full, more often than not, they retreat into fundamentalist paradigms. Far from independent thinking, they blindly suppose that nothing created everything, that life came from non-life, and that the life that came from non-life produced morals. I think there's a message here for the church in general, and that includes the Orthodox Church. If we want to reach the LGBT community, the church must once again take the task of Christian education seriously. Permit me to state the obvious. There are myriad professors and cultural pundits ready to steal away the faith of your friends, ready to tell them that the existence of God is less probable than the existence of Santa Claus. So it's hardly sufficient to be intellectually equipped. As I've emphasized again and again, it's axiomatic that we are internally equipped, energized by a power that is in us but not of us. And that is the energy that alone can transform the world, including those even now trapped in a lifestyle that overpromises and underperforms. We're up to the hard break, station break. We're back on the other side of the break with answers to your questions. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Be right back.
Sexual identity issues are central to the chaos and confusion in our culture today. Although it's easy to see how issues of sexual identity have separated society, we often underestimate the way any sin creates a chasm between Christ and even the most dedicated Christians. Nothing could be more serious, which is what makes Gay Girl, Good God by Jackie Hill Perry so compelling. Even if many Christians cannot understand the specific struggle of same-sex attraction, all Christians can understand the general struggle of sin. In this growing spiritual darkness, the importance of lighthouses can hardly be overestimated, and Jackie's story is truly a lighthouse. To receive your copy of Gay Girl, Good God, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal. Just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.
Jackie Hill Perry used to be a lesbian. In Gay Girl, Good God, she shares her story of embracing masculinity and homosexuality with every fiber of her being. She knew the Christian worldview on sexual identity, but how was she supposed to stop loving women when homosexuality felt more natural to her than heterosexuality ever could? Ultimately, Jackie came face to face with what it meant to be made new. God broke in and turned her heart toward Him right in her own bedroom through the light of His gospel. Read Gay Girl, Good God in order to understand. Read in order to hope. Or read in order, like Jackie, to be made new. To receive your copy of Gay Girl Good God, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. The number to dial is just mentioned, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. First up, Mary in Cypress, Texas, listening on the web. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
And the Bible in Romans 13, it says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there's no power but of God, the powers that be ordained of God. Will you please explain that verse?
Yeah, I think it's explained very well if you read Scripture in light of Scripture. So if you look at Ephesians chapter 6, this is the great passage on demon possession. And in that passage, what you read about is the fact that we are, as Christians, not to fear the power of the evil one as much as we are to be prepared by putting on the full armor of God. So Paul says, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Here you have emphasis on God's power to protect rather than Satan's power to pillage. And Paul goes on to say that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, as it most surely will, you'll be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything to stand. Now, you stand by doing something, and that doing something entails putting on the whole armor of God. So you want to put on truth and righteousness, and you want to put on the gospel of peace and pick up the shield of faith so that you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. You need to take up the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray on all occasions in the Spirit. So as a believer, the antidote against the powers of this dark world, the world, the flesh, and the devil, is to put on the covering provided for us in Holy Scripture.
Thank you so much for answering my question. I really appreciate that. I'll call back with another question.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mary. And for Mary and everyone listening in, my book, The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil, explicates what I've just said in full. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Sarah in Virginia, listening on the web. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Hank. It's so nice to talk to you. So I have a question about Satan. I feel like he's a bit different in the Old Testament, or I guess our understanding of him seems different in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And how would Jews view Satan as opposed to Christians? And I guess I kind of want to know the evolution of how we got to how we think of him today.
Well, I don't think that there's an evolution of Satan between the Old and the New Testament. I think that what's important is reading the Old Testament with the magnifying glass of the New Testament writers in your hand. So they give you an understanding of what's going on in terms of the devil's prowess and his power in the Old Testament. So all of that's contextualized by the New Testament writers. But if you look at the whole panoply of Scripture, what is the devil and who are demons? Well, in the beginning, God created angelic beings. They're non-corporeal. They're non-physical beings. Those beings fell. When I say those beings fell, I don't mean the entirety of them fell, but a third of them fell along with Satan. And that's how we have demons to begin with. And so you see demons seeking to thwart the purposes and the will of God at the very advent of the creation of humanity in the garden. And thus, when Adam and Eve are ascending the paradisical mountain, the devil stops them, as it were, at the tree of knowledge and gets them to consent to trying to be gods, not on God's term, but on their own term. You will be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. So their dependence becomes a dependence on the power of evil, a dependence on themselves rather than a dependence of God. Now, that theme is played out not only within the context of the Old Testament, but it is also fortified for us within the context of the New Testament. So there's no evolution whatsoever in the devil himself.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Mark in Chicago, Illinois, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I have a question for you when it comes to crucifying the flesh, which the Bible speaks of. I am a police officer of almost 30 years now. I hang around with other police officers. I hang around with former military, current military. We are a rough crowd. All of us married. None of us revelers or things like that. But we've seen and we've seen things that are not good, but we can bond by that, whether it's war or things that have happened in the streets of Chicago. We smoke cigars. We love sports. We know our Bible. We know our scriptures. But some would look at us, because we're tattooed up and things like that, some would look at us as being, are you guys really Christians? And we kind of wonder, we've prayed about things like that, but yet our personalities are still the same. These are good guys, faithful guys. Like I said, it's not uncommon to knock back a few beers while we're watching the Bears play. But none of these guys, myself included, would ever cheat on their wives. They're not, foul mouthed, but they're rough. And I'm kind of wondering, other Christians have looked at us, and I can tell you we're outcasts. But our backgrounds kind of kept us together, and I'm kind of wondering what your thoughts were on that. And I'll listen for the answer.
Sure. Well, first of all, let me say that I am extraordinarily impressed with the police officers who are manifesting the life and the fruit of the Spirit. And I think this is the thing that we want to live by. We're talking about the evil power. We're also talking about the power of God. So in the previous questions, I was talking about the power of Satan. Well, what is the power of God? It is to live by the Spirit. And when you live by the Spirit, you do not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. The desires of the sinful nature is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit wants what is contrary to the sinful nature. Now, there you have a conflict. So the conflict would not be whether or not you wear a tattoo. The conflict would be whether you emulate the life of Christ. And that's the key. We are all given to different dispositions. We all have different backgrounds. And Lord knows what the police have to go through, particularly in our culture. The real issue is, are you doing what Christ would do? Are you emulating the master, or are you emulating the world? And Paul is very, very clear about this in Galatians chapter 5, where he says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. And you alluded to some of these, Mark. Sexual immorality. He said, your friends don't engage in that. Impurity and debauchery. You said your friends do not engage in that. Idolatry and witchcraft. Hatred. Discord. Jealousy. Fits of rage. Selfish ambition. Dissensions. Factions. Envy. Drunkenness. Orgies. And the like, Paul says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this, those are the ones that will not inherit the kingdom of God. Maybe on your own you can read about the fruit of the Spirit, because that's exactly what follows those words by the Apostle Paul. So there you have the contrast between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness, manifest in the police force, but also in a Christian organization, in every aspect of this world, and certainly in every aspect of the Christian life. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. So long for now.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Concerning those struggling with sexuality, you and I have an opportunity to demonstrate the love of Christ and share the life-transforming power of biblical truth. Gay Girl, Good God by Jackie Hill Perry tells a powerful story of transformation and hope that multitudes today urgently need to hear. To receive your copy of Gay Girl, Good God, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.